Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, September 17th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we talk whiskey and cocktails with Chris Weld, founder, proprietor, and distiller at Berkshire Mountain Distillers in Sheffield, Massachusetts. He makes some splendid, award-winning hooch, and we'll talk about the whiskey-making process. Chris also brought a comrade, Billy Jack Paul, co-owner and mixologist at Mooncloud in Great Barrington, and he'll be spinning up some cocktails for us to taste. Frankly, this program is shaping up to be a win-win. If you have a question about booze, how to make it, how to make that perfect drink, give us a call. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Food Friday, Booze Friday, kicks off after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Whiskey and cocktails on this edition of Food Friday, and we're joined today by Chris Weld. Chris founded Berkshire Mountain Distillers in 2007. It was the Berkshire's first legal distillery since Prohibition. They make award-winning artisanal spirits, including Greylock Gin, Ethereal Gins, Ragged Mountain Rum, Berkshire Bourbon, Ice Glen Vodka, even New England Corn Whiskey, if that is what you're into, they make it. Also with us today is Billy Jack Paul, co-owner and mixologist at Mooncloud in Great Barrington. He's a Berkshire native who has studied the history and geography, as well as the botanical and medicinal origins of spirits and cocktails. He will be weaving some magic here today. If you have a question about stirring up a great drink or anything about whiskey or whiskey making, give us a call. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org if you want to. But the number is 800-348-2551. We'll start with Old Home Week here. Chris Weld, welcome back. How you doing?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me back.
How are things at Berkshire Mountain Distillers?
Things are super busy in mid-swing of our Craft Brewers Whiskey Project.
Now, that started years ago.
It feels like about 30 years ago, but it was about 7 years ago, probably.
So yeah.
It's been 5 years in the barrel and 12 brewers, 12 beers, 12 whiskeys. I think that's the last time I was here. We talked about that, and we're mid-release. Six of them are out, and three new ones are coming out next week.
I saw UFO, and I saw some really good ones. Yep. Three just came out, right?
They did. So that was a Berkshire Brewing Company one, Jack's Abbey, and Sam Adams.
Yeah.
And then coming up in 2 weeks or so, we have Oma Gang, which is going to be a great one, Captain Lawrence, and Smutty Nose.
Now, I've not had Captain Lawrence. Where's that
made? So that's a Westchester. Beer.
Really?
Yep.
You know, down Westchester.
Mid-size. Yep.
Now, as I recall, the first time we talked about this, maybe it was on the roundtable, I forget, but wasn't there some rule that you had to make it in the state where the beer was made? There was some strange, arcane rule involved with this.
Boy, we normally don't talk about rules on air.
Oh, really?
But,
am I wrong? Did I misremember this?
There's some stuff about having to source products. So New York has a pretty strict guideline on some of that. But we're allowed to bring in beers. We have a different license, so we can bring in beers, ferment it, and then distill it in-house.
This stuff is amazing. I mean, you really, in my memory, and I haven't had one in a while, one of these drinks, the Craft Brewing Project whiskeys, but at the end of the sip is when you get the character of the beer, as I recall.
Yeah, the genetics really come through. There's some of them, the Belgians that had spices in them, so chamomile or orange peel, that you really pick it up on the nose, much like you'd pick up a gin.
Yeah.
Essentially, it's sort of like distilling a whiskey with some gin components to it. And then some of them, like the Sam Adams one, you get this hop finish to it that's, it's crazy how the genetics of the beer really pull through.
And I imagine you learned a lot about this whole process.
It's been a learning process. The first one was we did distilled beer from Sam Adams, gosh, must have been 10 or 11 years ago. And it came in at 38 degrees or something and full of CO2, and I had to figure out steam flow dynamics just to distill it. And we've learned that we don't want it carbonated when it comes in, and we don't want it cold. And so it's been a process. But, yeah, they're 12 very unique whiskeys, and Some really spectacular ones, and it's been great.
We're joined today by Chris Weld of Berkshire Mountain Distillers. Also joining us today for the first time is Billy Jack Paul, co-owner and mixologist at Moon Cloud in Great Barrington. Billy Jack, I have not been to Moon Cloud, but I've seen the website. It looks like a pretty happening cocktail lounge.
Yeah, we're having a great time, you know, just kind of building that nice kind of just seductive little cocktail lounge and, you know, having a good time doing it, making beautiful stuff, and, you know.
Now, you, according to your bio, have been a bartender in this region for 20-some-odd years,
yeah.
Right? You are somebody who has looked into the history of many a drink, and you come up with your own stuff, right?
For sure, yeah. Our whole cocktail menu are all original cocktails, so playing with, you know, spirits from all over the world, as well as vermouths, aromatized wines, different cordials and liqueurs. And definitely having a lot of fun playing with Chris's spirits as well.
And they make a fine mixed drink.
For sure.
These Berkshire Mountain Distillers whiskeys. Having experimented with making drinks myself, and I was lamenting before the show started about these horrible drinks I made last night, what do you do with your failures, Billy Jack? They can't all be Maseratis, right?
I mean, it's funny. You know, I never fail? I don't want to sound like a jerk, but, but you know, at the same time, you know, like, it's just kind of like when there is the experience, and it's been a while since, like, I've, you know, sometimes you put something together and it's like, no, it's muddy, you know,
yeah.
Like, you can't discern the layers within the flavors and the flavor profiles of all the different elements of any particular cocktail. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes those layers just come together and I can taste them as I'm looking at them before I even actually put them in my mouth. So I know what I'm actually building.
All right, let's see. You know, speaking of your mouth, let's put your money where your mouth is. Let's have a cocktail here. Billy Jack Paul is with us from Moon Cloud in Great Barrington and Chris Weld in Berkshire Mountain Distillers since 2007. And it's amazing how time flies. It's incredible.
It is. So I'd like to add in there that, you know, Ray, you and I can probably make a decent drink, but it's a different level working with people like Billy Jack, and that they do. You can say, I'd like a drink that's sort of like this, and they can put it together in their mind beforehand. So my guess is 20 years ago, you had some failures, but there's this gestalt and this experience that just goes with it, and it's really fun to go into bars with people who are experienced behind the bar and ask for something. So I believe him that he hasn't had a bad drink in a while.
All right. Well, we'll be the judge of that, certainly, Chris. Billy Jack Paul, what are you making?
So to start off here, we're going to play with Chris's Racebrook Rye Whiskey.
Which is fantastic.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Nice and deep, rich, dry.
To me, it just says this is real rye.
That's what
it says.
It's nice all by itself or on a rock, but also it mixes really well with some deep, toned modifiers. So with this one, what I did is split the spec with the rye, split spec being the base and like the ingredients there, the recipe. So there's the rye whiskey, there's Amontillado sherry. I did a nice maceration with some rouge vermouth with coffee beans and whole clove for about like 10 days to give this vermouth like a whole other level of depth. There's a hint of Chinar, this really beautiful bitter Italian liqueur. It's in the Amaro spectrum, somewhere in the mid. And then a hint of my vanilla syrup and a dash of apple bitters.
Wow.
So I'm going to throw some ice on this and
stir it. What do you call this?
This is called Wrapped in Echoes.
Wrapped in Echoes.
Ray, is that like the drink you shook up at home last night?
No, it is not like the drink I shook up last night. And by the way, and while he is preparing our glasses here, Chris, let me ask you a philosophical question. You make good booze, oftentimes it's almost a sin to mix it into something. You know, if you have a bourbon like you make, does it annoy you to see it mixed up? Like, let me give you for instance. At my house, oftentimes I will get Meyer. We make our own drink, and one of the ones that my wife and I find really good is Meyer lemonade with bourbon, almost one-to-one, and just a little couple dashes of Luxardo. And you put it in a highball glass on ice. But does that offend you when someone does something like that?
That doesn't offend me. If you were to order a bourbon with a commercial cola that had 16 teaspoons of sugar per can.
Yeah.
That would probably offend me a little bit.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, let's try this.
Thick skin, yeah.
Let's try this drink, and then we will take a break, and we'll hit the phones and the emails. The number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Whiskey and cocktails today with Chris Weld from Berkshire Mountain Distillers and Billy Jack Paul of Mooncloud in Great Barrington. And we are going to have, I forget the name now. It's,
Wrapped in Echoes.
Wrapped in Echoes. It sounds like a Pink Floyd album, to be honest with you.
Sounds like a song.
Speaking of Pink Floyd albums, how's the pot operation going over there, Chris?
It's going great guns.
Really?
It is.
I mean, you know, you first talked about that years before, you know, it was going to happen, but it hadn't happened yet. And I think we were on the round table, maybe shooting the breeze. Has it been more of a success than you expected?
It's been a little bit more work than I thought.
Yeah.
It's been 3 years. It was tough getting through the state regs. The town's been wonderful. We have a store in Sheffield called The Pass.
Yeah.
Our tagline is farm to label.
Oh, very nice.
That's catchy, huh?
Yeah, very
so
nice.
So things are grown there, processed there. There's a retail shop. It's been wonderful for the town, 75 employees.
Hmm.
And it's been a really good learning experience.
I got to say, you know, you and I are about the same age. I never would have expected this in this country, legalization like that.
Yeah, and it's amazing. And by the way, we call it cannabis shop. You know, cannabis
it's store, not pot. Pot. I'm sorry.
But it's been amazing that the 2 years ago, 30% of the country was voting for it, and now it's 60% or
incredible.
Something like that. It's really pretty wild how quickly that changed.
All right, Billy Jack Paul, he's pouring the drinks. Tell you what, let's take a break now. 800-348-2551. Then we'll have a sip. Then we'll go to the phones and the emails. Email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Whiskey and cocktails today. We are just getting started. Vox Pop, it's a food Friday, and it's booze today. Whiskey and cocktails with Chris Weld of Berkshire Mountain Distillers and Billy Jack Paul of Mooncloud in Great Barrington. And the number is 800-348-2551 if you have a question about distilling and or mixology. Or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. And Billy Jack was, in fact, mixing up a drink called the Mooncloud Surprise. Now, what was the name of the cocktail again?
Wrapped in Echoes.
Wrapped in Echoes, right. And you branded the ice cube. What's up with that?
You know, just one more little, piece of, you know, care where you put into the cocktail and just show that logo and, you know,
if
show what we're doing.
If you're watching on the camera, and
you're
I don't know if anybody is.
Spill your drink if you try and show it.
It's a huge square ice cube. So this is what the happening people use. How exactly did you get your logo in there?
I had this cool little toy. This was a gift, but it's a beautiful little brand, you know, that you just kind of, and it's just, you know, it's, I think this is brass, so it just kind of burns a little hole in there.
So you don't warm it up or anything?
It doesn't have to, no.
Very interesting. All right, boys, cheers.
Sorry. Cheers, gentlemen.
To great success, and may the COVID finally be gone.
Mm. So the name Wrapped in Echoes is derived from all these layers within that cocktail, and it just lingers on into a nice long developing finish, and the drink itself just kind of keeps rolling and rolling. And
it really does. It's very complex. And so are you very – you gave us the list of ingredients, but the amounts you did not do. Are you proprietary? Do you keep secrets?
I don't know at all. I don't really believe in the whole kind of patenting of different recipes and stuff, because the fact of the matter is most of the things that we're making we're making in-house. These ingredients, we're making from scratch, whether it's our ginger cordial or this kind of maceration, kind of improving or developing more depth in that vermouth, as well as the vanilla demerara. But I do cocktail classes a lot of times as well. During the lockdown, I did a few Zoom classes, and that was amazing. We had a great time, and I'm happy to, you know, give those recipes. But at the same time, I have, you know, like large machines that extract juice from ginger, which is not easy to do.
Oh, really?
For sure.
And you have that right at Mooncloud?
For sure.
Wow, that's very cool. This is a really good drink. I like it very much. You stirred it, right?
Indeed. So the rule of thumb here with in cocktails, step one is just you stir spirits, you shake citrus. And that's key right there.
Why?
Well, with the spirits, you're just trying to develop, you're trying to really kind of find that ratio of temperature and dilution. And ice is like the key ingredient that's always forgotten in all cocktails. Ice is the thing that brings the water, and the water is the thing that kind of really pulls all those ingredients, whatever their, you know, recipe or specs are, pulls them together. And without that dilution, you just have a hot, cloying, intense cocktail that just burns and gets you really drunk all at once.
Yeah.
But, you know, our ice at home is far different from the ice that we have at Mooncloud. And, you know, the ice, we take our ice really seriously, where we have like a, I have a whole machine that does beautiful pebble ice for tiki cocktails, as well as like the big ice machine that does our like 1 1/4 cubes. And then we do trays of two inch cubes.
This is an enormous cube too. And it just only one. And I assume that you have experimented quite a bit with the melting and the rate of melting. And so this is pretty much perfect for one cocktail.
Indeed. That large rock will kind of slow down that melting so it doesn't water down as you're enjoying the beverage.
What do you think, Chris?
I think it's a fantastic drink. I love the coffee touch.
Yeah, you can really taste it.
It's a good finish on it.
Do you think it's a good use of your whiskey?
I think it's a perfect use of the whiskey.
Good answer.
Use of the rye, yeah.
We're joined today by Chris Weld of Berkshire Mountain Distillers and Billy Jack Paul, co-owner and mixologist at Mooncloud in Great Barrington. The number here is 800-348-2551. I want to ask you more about Mooncloud, but let's grab a couple of calls here first. Bruce in Great Barrington. Bruce, you're on.
Hey, let me just say first that I'm a frequent customer at Mooncloud, and it is the best place to get a drink in all of Berkshire County.
That's
and
cool.
Billy Jack Paul is the absolute best.
He seems to have done pretty well on this one. Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Bruce.
He's incredible. He's a magician. I really liked what he said about not being proprietary about his recipes, and he really does share a lot of knowledge. So I'm a pretty big drinker. I like to have at home a Long Island iced tea, but it always comes out a little bit trashy. Is there something I can do to class it up?
Is there any other kind? I mean, trashy is...
I'd like to serve it at a dinner party without getting a sidelong glance from my wife.
Can you just rename it, or is it the ingredients you think?
It's a Northern Westchester iced tea. The price goes up a little bit, but it's the same thing.
Often when guests do ask for a Long Island iced tea at Mooncloud, and I'm sorry to sound like a pretentious person, but you know, I usually say, let's go with something else. And we're talking about,
true. He hasn't made me one in there yet.
Really? Right.
Billy, I love you, buddy. Congratulations on everything. Your bar's the best. Everybody go. Even if you're usually a Long Island iced tea drinker, you'll be happy.
For sure.
Thank you, Bruce. We appreciate the call. The number here is 800-348-2551. Jesse and Troy. Jesse.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So this time of year, I've got a peach tree at home, and I've just finished processing peaches, and I've got all this leftover peach juice. Mm. It's this amazing product, but it's kind of thick, and it's like, seems like it would be great in a cocktail, but I'm just not sure with what. I'm wondering if you have any ideas for me.
Yeah, peach puree can be tricky, you know, because it is, it can be kind of fatty and a little unctuous too, and then, you know, it starts to create kind of a viscosity in your drink that may be, you know, less than pleasant. But if you can try to like maybe, you know, squeeze it through like a nut bag or something and just get like the pure essence of the peach juice and try to extract all those like solids, then you can have a really cool, clean kind of peach element. And that's, you know, forget about a Bellini. Have fun with that for brunch. But, you know, you can get that in your whiskey and a little bit of maybe like maple syrup. Maple and peach love each other. And
interesting. So would a coffee filter work?
A coffee filter does work. I use coffee filters to extract, like, that's my final extraction usually. I'll go through like a chinois, then the nutbags, then ultimately the coffee filters.
Yeah, the coffee with the fruit in is probably going to tear it though.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to push it through. So the other thing I love doing with peaches, and I do it with a bunch of different fruits, is to get for me it's kind of easy, otherwise on the open market, buy a cask finished whiskey that you like and just have the peaches in a ball jar and float the whiskey over them and let them sit in the fridge for a few months and then chop those up and throw them in a cocktail.
Sounds great. I'll give it a try.
Jesse, thanks for the call. It's Whiskey and Cocktails today. Billy Jack Paul is here from Mooncloud in Great Barrington and Chris Weld from Berkshire Mountain Distillers. So how long has Mooncloud been open?
We opened in December of 2019, and we had three awesome months of doing what we set out to do.
And then?
And then it was, you know, lockdown for a while. And then we spent the next, you know, 6 to 18 months just reinventing, and trying to be as creative as possible.
I mean, this story has been repeated thousands of times, maybe more than that, across the country. But, God, it must feel awful. You just get rolling, and then 3 months later, this hits.
Yeah, it was definitely tricky, and a lot of people say, oh, the worst time, but, you know, it could be the best time. We really snuck it in there under the radar right before all, you know, all hell broke loose. But you know, we've been really blessed to, you know, be as creative as we are, but also have the friends and the community that we have to, like, just people reaching out and the support we've had from our guests and friends from abroad and just, you know, having fun. The to-go cocktail program was definitely huge and kept us rolling, and we're still offering those as we get into this fall season.
So you're still allowed in Massachusetts?
Massachusetts till May, yeah.
They're working on that, actually, to extend that too.
Yep.
So I have to say, so the Mooncloud's up at the end of Railroad Street in Great Barrington. In Great Barrington, all the Southern Berkshires have really changed quite a bit, partly because of the pandemic and weekend homeowners staying up there. And then also because, frankly, because of Canada tourism. So there's a lot more traffic going through the area. And Railroad Street has been closed off during the summers, during Friday night, Saturday night.
Fridays and Saturdays, yeah.
And so it's foot traffic only, which has been, I mean, we're in the country and there are very few places to have a drink outside. But now outside of Mooncloud, you can sit down and have a cocktail and watch, you know, the world go by on the street. And then there's busking, so there's people playing music on the street on Friday nights, and that just ended. And that was so the vibe in downtown Great Barrington has really changed a lot. And even with, you know, connections, sometimes it's hard to get a seat at the bar.
You kind of gave him a side glance there, Chris.
That's right. We're trying to go in tonight. We'll see if he lets me in.
Fair enough. The number here is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpopwamc.org. And we'll go through a couple of emails here. And this one is from Joel in Blooming Grove. I like Irish whiskey. I like bourbon. I hate scotch. Is there something wrong with me? And that's from Joel in Blooming Grove.
So my family's saying is that scotch going down tastes like bourbon coming up. So I'm from a...
Ouch.
Can I say that on the air?
Well, you just did.
So my family's not a bunch of scotch drinkers, and I'm not a big smoked peaty thing. I think it's hard to enjoy a meal after a big peated scotch.
But it's pretty easy to enjoy a cigar.
I'm not a cigar guy either, so there, it's like one less vice.
All right, this one is from Joe. Joe in Hagaman. Would you please ask Chris and Billy what type of whiskey pairs best with scrambled eggs? Well, there you go.
That's obviously Berkshire bourbon.
Yeah, there's no other.
There's not even a second.
And Rob writes in, are you sure it's okay to say nutbag on the radio, as your guest just did? Yeah, we got a lot of comedians out there today. Yeah. The number here is 800-348-2551, and the email address is voxpopwamc.org. We talked with Billy Jack about having to navigate the pandemic, and cocktails to go was part of it. Did you find, Chris, that people were just buying booze in record amounts during the pandemic?
It was pretty humiliating when it first hit because we got the green light from the feds to make hand sanitizer, which was fantastic. It kept us busy. We supplied the whole county, EMS, fire EMS, police with hand sanitizer, donated to the FBI in Boston. But it's the first time I've had lines around the block in the parking lot, and it was for the hand sanitizer, not for whiskey. So we were super busy with the sanitizer for a couple months, and then we've had a great – it's been busy at the store. So people come in. Our numbers are, you know, much bigger than they were a couple years ago. We put a pavilion in outside, so there's more seating outside, and we stopped doing the tours because of COVID. But I feel super fortunate that we stayed busy throughout the whole thing.
Have tastes changed since you opened in 2007?
As to what people like?
Yeah.
I think rye came on the scene in a bigger way. Other than that, I can't think of really any huge, you know, a lot of things like we were talking about cachaça before the show, and I think that's kind of floundered and really hasn't taken off. And I think rye for me is the biggest thing, and we didn't have a rye in 2007.
Now, when you make a rye, there has to be a certain percentage of rye in there, right?
Yes.
And so how do you go about doing it?
Well, for me, I think a rye should be a rye. So ours is a very high proof or high mash bill rye. It's about 90%. And the rest is a malted barley. So that malting of the grains gives some enzymes that help break down all the starches into sugars for fermentation. And just adds a little bit of a sweetness and nicer finish to the rye, which tends to be a tad hotter, like a bourbon.
Yeah.
So for me, we do a high rye whiskey,
which
I prefer.
The number here is 800-348-2551 if you have a whiskey question or a mixology question for Billy Jack Paul or Chris Weld today. And you brought food, Billy Jack.
Yeah, so, you know, we are a full-scale, but we are a restaurant and cocktail bar. And where we don't have, like, a whole huge commercial kitchen, what we lack in a kitchen, we more than make up with in vigor. So we have some beautiful cured meats. We source all our cheeses through Rubiner's in downtown Great Barrington. Our bread, beautiful sourdough toast from Travis at Creature Bakery. And then we do a tinned fish program. So all over Spain and Italy and Portugal,
We
get these beautiful tinned fish. And then we make all our own spreads. We have a beautiful vegan menu as well, as the meats, cheeses, olives.
That's fantastic. The cheese, I tried a little of it before the show, is phenomenal. Yeah. And that's the real McCoy.
Indeed. Yeah. So we're lucky to be able to work with Rubiner's to get our cheeses so that we can get, like, you know, nice, really nice small amounts, because I can't get a 40-pound wheel. I don't have storage or know how to do that, really, you know.
Yeah.
But I can get a pound or two, a pound, 3 pounds at a time and make the magic happen.
So Rubiner's is also worth the field trip to the Great Barrington for. We call it the Cheese Museum, but it's just an amazing selection of cheese is imported from all over.
That's incredible. And it's so great to see just a spread like that. And so if I went to Mooncloud, this would be something I could order some of this stuff.
Absolutely. We do like a la carte, or, you know, we have like kind of set tagliere boards where you can, you know, choose two cheeses, two meats, a couple tin fish, and just have an awesome spread. And, you know, where we think about dinner, because we're not a hamburger and steak place. But we, you know, dinner is as little or as much as you eat. So, you know, if you're hungry, we can get it done. Plus, the lobster rolls are ridiculous.
Lobster rolls?
Lobster rolls.
That's nowhere near the ocean in Great Barrington. Well, how are you doing that?
Because we got an excellent source with Berkshore, a couple of really cool guys from Berkshire County who ship back and forth.
Really?
And they bring some beautiful product back, and they source a lot of the restaurants.
Let me ask you a question, and you can be honest about this if you wish. Has Shartok ever walked in?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Alan loved, when we were doing a barbecue last year as one of our survival tactics, Alan came in for the brisket, and it was bananas.
Really? And that's amazing. So does he order some cocktails?
No.
No? All right, next time he comes in,
yeah,
you buy him one of these.
All right.
And I'll pay for it, all right? It'll be on me, and we'll just see how many he can drink.
Right on.
Okay? 800-348-2551 is the number. Cocktails today and distilling. With Chris Weld and Billy Jack Paul, we'll be right back. So remember, the next time Alan walks in the place, I want 5 wrapped in echoes ready for him.
Lined up.
Yeah, exactly. And say, all right, here you go, Alan. This email came in from AG. I totally understand your guest not wanting to give an answer to this so he doesn't get asked from at the bar. But as a former bartender, I will let the former caller know there is certainly a simple way to class up a Long Island iced tea. Long Island iced teas are commonly made with vodka, gin, rum, tequila, triple sec, lemon juice, and a splash of Coke for color. So you would simply use premium liquors of your choice for the big 4, Grand Marnier or Cointreau for the triple sec, use fresh squeezed lemon juice and a nice artisanal cola for your splash, play around to get the mixture just right, and you could definitely make a nice version of this cocktail. You could even experiment with a touch of mild bitters or Amaro for color, or even a touch of actual tea. Agree or disagree, Billy Jack Paul?
I will agree 100% with that. That is an excellent answer.
Really?
Absolutely.
But
sure.
Isn't it a waste to put top shelf in a drink like that?
No, because a lot of times, and I mean, it depends how you're doing it, but a lot of times the quality of the beverage, the quality of the cocktail is based on, you know, the quality of your ingredients.
Right.
So, you know, that's why there are some places in Brooklyn and in Manhattan where they're selling $150 cocktails because they're using vintage Campari and vintage rye and all these cool things.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take away from that experience. It might add very well to it. But,
I don't know, man. I mean, there's so much stuff in a Long Island iced tea.
I think there's too much. Also, in Massachusetts, there was a long time where you couldn't put more than three spirits in any given cocktail. So the Long Island iced tea was illegal in Massachusetts.
What happened? They burn you like a witch if you do four?
You had to omit the tequila and use non-alcoholic triple sec.
Wow.
So, and then with tequila, it was the Texas tea or something like that.
I think it's also a little akin to going to the garden and picking all fresh vegetables. It's hard to make a bad salad. So if you've got top shelf stuff going into a drink, and also from a distiller's viewpoint, for me, we've talked about the heads and the tails before and the cuts that you make. So at BMD, we throw out.
All right, explain that for those who don't know.
So when you ferment something, everyone thinks that ethanol's, the byproduct of fermentation, which is true. It's the majority of the alcohols, but there's also amylin butyl alcohol and fusel oils and aldehydes and methanol, and they all come over the still at different times according to their volatility. So you can cut out the heads and the tails and have a much cleaner Hartz product. But it's a bean counters thing, right? Because, the more you keep, the more money you have to sell in a distillate. But we prefer to leave some of that out, have a cleaner distillate. And so in the morning after, if you're drinking nicer spirits, you tend to feel a little bit better too.
Well, fair enough. Well, I'll let you know tomorrow.
There
That's fine. The number here is 800-348-2551. Billy Jack Paul, before we get into our next part of the discussion and go back to the phones, you want to make another cocktail?
Sure, I'd love to. Yeah. So I also brought this one. This is, I'm calling this one Moon Garden.
Moon Garden.
Yeah. Cute little, little kind of bright, zippy, citrus-driven, refreshing cocktail using Berkshire Mountain Distillers Ethereal Stormy No. 2 gin.
Right.
Mixed with some Avezé gentian liqueur, this really beautiful liqueur from the French Alps, or from Saumur, actually. But with our house-made ginger cordial, fresh squeezed lime juice, and some Mill River honey.
And this is another one of your inventions?
Indeed.
And how many exotic liqueurs do you have?
The bar is packed with probably about 230 bottles. So
amazing.
And, I'm just trying to make room on the shelves for more because there's some beautiful stuff in the world.
All right. Well, while you mix, we'll take a call here. 800-348-2551 is the number, and Kathy is in Guilderland. Kathy, you're on. Hello, Kathy.
Hello.
Hello. You're on.
Yes. Yeah. I was wondering if you probably answered the question already because I came in late, that the difference between scotch and whiskey, scotch as a brand. I like scotch. I know it has to be made in Scotland. Is there an American equivalent?
There are a bunch of, minus the name, there are. So, unfortunately, there are not a lot of great sources for peat in this country, not like there are in Scotland, but there are plenty of single malts made in this country that would mirror scotches. And there are a bunch of people that do smoke grains with peat, and you can also buy pre-peated grains as well. So there are a bunch of distillers that are making the equivalent of a scotch. We have some barrels that would be a scotch equivalent, both peated and unpeated, but they're only maybe 3 years old now, so we have another year or so to go on those. But there are a bunch, and if you look at, the nice thing about the craft distilling movement is people are really broadening the horizon, and they're making a bunch of new things. So there's a bunch of spots around. Hill Rock in New York makes a peated whiskey, and just Google craft distillers, and you'll find a whole bunch of scotch equivalents out there.
Kathy.
Thank you very much, and I will keep an eye out for those.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Now, how long will you have to age your bourbon for it to be called bourbon?
The TTB has a book out called The Beverage Alcohol Manual, and it's a little bit nebulous. There was a craft distiller in New York that had a young bourbon that was 3 months old.
Yeah.
But they labeled it as a bourbon. To be a straight whiskey, it's 2 years old. And then to not have an age statement on the label, it has to be 4 years old.
Mm.
So we start at four. I have a couple barrels that are 10 years old tucked away in my barn that I think are about ready to tap.
Yeah, why that. Are you telling people where they are?
That's... Yeah, well, I've got vicious dogs and...
You know, okay, there you go. And a moat with alligators?
Rabid bats in the belfry. So.
Now, 10-year-old. Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
So, all right. Next time you're on, you bring the 10-year-old.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm always teasing Chris about that pear brandy you made back in 07-08. That was
one of my best, I have to say.
I think one of our best. Did we not have that?
I think we probably did have that.
Yeah, that was really good stuff. All right, Billy, Jack, Paul, what do you got?
So we're playing with a cocktail that we're calling, the Moon Garden. We went through this description,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're talking about citrus, so we're going to give this one a solid shake, you know? And when I'm shaking a drink, I, you know, really put some, you know, some vigorousness into that just to try to really, you know, really emulsify and create a froth on the top of the drink.
Okay, let's listen. Let's listen in. There it is.
I'll try and talk over the shaking, but I love how the 2007, 2008 rolled off his tongue so easily. But it's been, you know, 15 years that we've been working together with spirits.
Totally.
Now, you know, you had mentioned the Ethereal Number 2 Stormy, I think you said it was.
Yeah.
As I recall, Chris, and my memory is hazy of our conversation, there were several different numbers there at one
time,
right?
There were. I'll explain the Stormy 2 after the shake.
Okay.
And it goes a little something like this.
Choo-choo Charlie was an engineer. That's good. Thank you. That's wonderful. Billy, Jack, Paul will be here all week. Very good.
So we, we locked them in. We have a bunch of different ethereals. We have our regular ethereal line that we're up to 16 now. This is batch 16 right in front of me here.
Yep.
And each recipe is a little bit different on the botanical makeup. But we've been making Greylock gin for 15 years, and I don't know, 4 years ago we made a batch and it just didn't taste quite the same.
Right.
I mean, if you'd had a cocktail at one bar and walked a block and had it at another bar, you wouldn't have noticed a difference. But for us that taste Greylock every month or so.
And Greylock is the London style, right?
Yes, it's our classic flagship gin. It was a little bit different, so we and I don't know if it was the botanical sourcing was changed or something. But we redistilled it with a whole ton of botanicals, and there are so many oils and phenols and stuff in that booze that it didn't absorb into the alcohol, and it was cloudy for months, so we called it Stormy.
You know, gin is something that I found that this craft distilling movement that has happened over the last – you guys were very early in the game at 2007, but to me, a good craft – small batch gin was tough to find in the beginning. Yours was one of the very few exceptions that was very, your London style, to me, held up pretty well with the real thing. You know what I mean? You can make a martini with it. There were some in the early days, far and wide, that I would never make a martini with those.
Yeah. We got a lot of emails saying, I can even drink this one warm. So it's a nice.
Would anyone do that?
I think so. If you're having scrambled eggs for breakfast with bourbon, you can drink a warm gin, right? It's well, all, no shame in that.
All right, so let's, this beautiful drink. Gosh. Mm-hmm. Very nice. You going to have one?
I thought, it is. Here it is.
All right,
cheers.
Here we go.
Snuck it right up on me.
Cheers.
Again.
And this is the?
The Moon Garden.
The Moon Garden. All right. And
Moon Garden.
There's a flower in there.
I'm a huge fan of shaken gin drinks.
Well, my buddy. Oh, this is delicious. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah, actually, it's. So when I was young and when I was consuming alcohol, irresponsibly, I had, you know, a vice with gin. But it wasn't, you know, like when I kind of became an adult and started learning how to sip spirits and reapproaching cocktails in a whole new way.
Yeah.
It was really the Berkshire Mountain Distillers gin, the whole ethereal program, that got me back into it. And this is also the same time in 07, 08, I've been partying since 2001, but in 07, 08, we also have the emergence of the craft cocktail culture. So a lot of cool spirits that had been, you know, taken out of importation to the States or export, you know, were re-emerging to the market. And a lot of these cool classic cocktails re-emerged as well. And like the truth of how to make the Manhattan. Don't be afraid of the vermouth. And, you know, have some really nice fun with some of the Amaro.
This Amari. Is interesting. Now, you've said a Manhattan, and don't be afraid of it. How much vermouth will you put in?
So I typically do like a 2 1/4 ounce base spirit, be it your rye, your bourbon, typically rye in a Manhattan. And then I'll go like 3/4 of a nice deep rouge vermouth and about 1/2 ounce of a dry vermouth. Mm. And by doing a little bit of both, they consider that's called perfect.
Right.
And then a couple dashes of Angostura, a couple dashes of Peychaud's, stir that real nice, twist of orange, run it.
Well, now you're an expert, and so I will ask you, give me your martini. If you look at some of these old martini recipes, there's a lot of vermouth in
there.
A perfect martini was a lot of vermouth. What's your favorite?
Well, my favorite is the classic, basically, you know, a nice bright, you know, either a bright kind of contemporary gin or, you know, old school, really nice London dry with all that big, you know, more juniper element. But incorporating like 2 ounces of that to 1 ounce of a nice blanc. Or right. dry vermouth.
Right.
And then a couple dashes of orange
bitters. So 2 to 1 is the ratio
That's the OG, yeah. I mean, that's the way to go about it. And that's the point. Don't be afraid of the vermouth. Vermouth got bastardized after Prohibition and after the war. And in the 60s, it was like all about just drinking vodka because the market was, you know, vodka became the big thing because it was, you can distill it, and it was ready for market. You just distill it, bottle it, and run it. And so the 60s and 70s and 80s, there was that, you know, kind of the cocktail culture had kind of delineated into just, you know, making easy things, you know, and forgetting the true quality of vermouth. And that's why, you know, Martini Rossi is a great example, where a friend of ours brought over a 1928 Martini Rossi. Unopened, beautiful thing. We opened it, we started making some cocktails with it, and I mean, outrageous.
Really?
Some of the most amazing, the depth in this vermouth. Whereas if you went and got like that $3.99 Martini Rossi over at the store, you know, it's
not the same anymore.
It's flabby, it's, you know, there's nothing going on there. But, you know, vintage spirits are awesome like that. But, you know, so, you know, that's where it was, too, though, the quality of the vermouth back then versus just, you know, push it out for market.
There's some good vermouths that have come
Absolutely.
On board. So in
Absolutely.
The last decade, yep. it's really changed.
Exactly. With that craft cocktail yep. culture kind
Correct.
Of thing re-emergence.
But we're still paying the price with the bubblegum vodka and things like that.
Right. So,
you're not going to be making that then?
Oh, no. We've had seven editions of it.
Of the bubblegum vodka?
Yeah. No, we will not. I will go on record saying we're not going to make a bubblegum vodka. Yeah.
Anything new in store from Berkshire Mountain?
You know, this next batch of, it's funny because there are a couple distilleries that have been around for 150 years or so, and I think they've put out 2 whiskeys, and nary a week goes by where I don't get asked what's new. So this is 12 whiskeys this year with the Craft Brewers Whiskey Project, and that's huge. So the next ones, you know, as I mentioned, are the Smutty Nose from New Hampshire and the Omegang from New York, as well as Captain Lawrence from New York. And those will get released October 1 into Massachusetts, and we're working on getting them into New York in November.
And those went in the barrels 4 years ago?
They were going to be a 4-year release, and then COVID hit, so these are 5+ years right now. And, you know, 3 philosophers from Omegang, which is just a crazy...
It's a great...
Year. Yeah. So the whiskeys just are phenomenal. So that's it. And then hopefully we'll have a roof on our pavilion next week. It's been 3 months in the waiting. And I think we're going to do some more pear stuff this fall.
Sweet.
So nice. A lot of stuff going on.
Now, when you make bourbon, do you use the barrels only once, like classic bourbon?
I think the law was written by the Coopers back in the old days.
Yeah.
So the law for bourbon is
a
virgin American white oak barrel. So used once. So the aftermarket for that classically has been
Scotland, right?
Scotland, tequila, and then also rums. And then with this whole craft movement, there's a lot of repurposing of it. So for these Craft Brewers Whiskey Project, we're giving the barrels back to the brewers that the whiskey was in. And, you know, we're getting Ruby Port barrels from Sam Adams that had Utopias next month. And so there's this whole change back and forth. And a lot of brewers are using used barrels and coffee companies and chocolatiers. And But
wow.
for bourbon, just once.
All right, we only have a few minutes left here with Chris Weld from Berkshire Mountain Distillers and Billy Jack Paul of Mooncloud and Great Barrington. And Chris, you wanted to talk just a little bit about the scene in the Berkshires?
Yeah, I think, as I mentioned before, the scene has definitely changed. We've gotten a lot busier, and there's just been a lot of new things come onto the scene in Sheffield. So the distillery's down there. Big Elm Brewing is down there. We have a new winery that came up from Connecticut called Sunset Meadows is down there. The Pass, which is the cannabis place that we were talking to. We have a ukulele shop down there. So I always say,
ukulele shop.
You're going to have to probably, you know, drive to Oregon to get all five of those in some small town.
Well, I mean, if you have cannabis, you're going to need a ukulele, right?
I think they go hand in hand. And exactly. then Great Barrington, which has always been rocking, has just been, Billy Jack, I mean, you can speak to this, but I think that the last summer was, like, my guess is you've been flat out.
Exponentially busier than, you know, than usual. I mean, and I mean, I don't have a whole lot of experience to say that with, at least with Mooncloud, because we just opened and then we didn't really have a summer. But
yeah,
it was with the closing of Railroad Street down and allowing people to just kind of pass in the street and putting tables for restaurants out there. But our patio is open. That's part of our whole thing. So we do tables outside all the time.
Yeah,
we have 1 minute got this email come in, and I thought, as long as we have you here, Billy Jack, we will read this and see if you can come up with an answer in 30 seconds. John in Shutesbury writes, when my wife and I honeymooned in the Bahamas, every bar had a different signature rum punch recipe. I love a good rum punch. What do you suggest?
I make my own rum punch as well, and it's in one of the cocktails. It's called Davy Jones Locker. Really cool.
Arr.
Exactly. Really cool tiki element. But take that that rum punch, add some fresh pineapple juice, some passion fruit, make some cinnamon syrup. Have some fun with it.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
Dark rum, right?
Dark rum. I use a little bit of Coqui Rosa aperitif. You know, yeah. I mean, as far as the rum punch, my house punch is actually just a spirit base, but then mix it up with those delicious juices and have a tiki.
All right. Well, Billy Jack Paul, how do people find Mooncloud on the internet?
You can hit us up at mooncloudgb.com and then at Instagram, on Instagram at mooncloudgb.
Fair enough. And good luck with it. And I hope that the pandemic allows you guys to continue to flourish. Well done. All right, Chris Weld, how do we find Berkshire Mountain Distillers?
BerkshireMountainDistillers.com, and take a look at CraftBrewersWhiskeyProject.com.
That is really something. And, you know, we will talk about that again in the future. Well, thank you both very much for being here. And we will, you know, we'll clean up Studio A in time for Northeast Report at 3:30. And we'll hang out a little bit. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Cheers.
Perfect. Thank you.
Support comes from Troy Waterfront Farmers Market every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Riverfront Park, now featuring fall harvest foods on produce, troymarket.org. Big Y, a local family-owned and operated market serving communities in Massachusetts and Connecticut for 85 years with local produce and products, meat at seafoodbigy.com. And Rockefeller College at UAlbany, offering diplomacy and international development for work in the U.S. or abroad with a Master of International Affairs, albany.edu/Rockefeller. Once again, thanks to Chris Weld and Billy Jack Paul for being with us today. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the calls and the emails. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Another week is done, my friend. Thanks to Barb King, who screened the calls. And once again, thanks for joining us on Vox Pop. We'll be back on Monday, and we'll talk about sleep disorders, and I hope you join us for that one. Meantime, stand by for the best of our knowledge.